Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, how to stop a cat from meowing too much, winter activities and alternative medicine for pets, and much more. We're going to start with that meowing cat. I happen to know that this actually works because I tried it. So training a cat to be quiet. My cat meows too much. What do I do? This was posted on Cattle Dog Publishing, The Legacy of Dr. Sophia Yin, and written by Dr. Sophia Yin. Believe it or not, yelling at him or hurling soft objects usually doesn't work. And even though it may make you feel better, in fact, doing so may make the cat worse. Yelling and tossing things at him make it clear to the cat that meowing works to get them what they want, your attention. And if it's food that they want, they know that getting your attention is the first step. So how do you quiet a cacophonous crier? You follow the golden rule of changing behavior. Reward the behavior you want, such as sitting quietly, and remove the reward for unwanted behavior, your attention. So when your cat yowls at you to give him what he wants, wait him out patiently and then only pet and provide attention when he sits quietly. Sounds great, right? At least it does on paper. Realistically, taking those steps in that order can take forever. To speed up the process, first train the cat to sit for treats, and once he's got that down, then wait him out when he's noisy. Teaching cats to sit. You can. Training cats to sit is simple. Just take a yummy treat, such as greenies, canned food on a spoon or in a syringe with the tip cut off, pieces of cheese, tuna, or if it's mealtime, a portion of his meal. When he knows you have it and is looking at you like, how do I get that? Just wait until he sits, and when he does, deliver the treat right up to his face. Make sure you hold it in a way that he can eat it while he's still sitting. Once he's done, repeat. Also, once he's sitting, you can give him a series of treats for remaining seated. Note, this is way easier for cats than dogs because cats love to sit and remain seated, whereas dogs love to sit and then pop right up. Next, walk a few steps away and repeat. The goal is that every time you walk away and stop and the cat follows to catch up, when the cat catches up, she quickly sits to earn a treat. Now, sit is starting to become a very rewarding behavior. If you couldn't get your cat to sit this way, you can also use the food as a lure to get your cat to raise her head and move her weight back to her rear. Place the treat right up to her face, then raise it and move it back so she shifts her weight back into a sit. Then, hurry and reward her before she gets up. If needed, you can first reward her for just almost sitting, and when she readily goes into this position, then start rewarding her only when she sits all the way. What if she's meowing when you're training sit? If your cat was meowing while you were working on sit, there are two options. You can wait until she's quiet to reward her for sit, or you can just reward her while she's meowing now and then work in the rewarding quiet later. Generally, it's easiest to train one behavior at a time, and she'll learn to sit pretty quickly anyway, usually in a couple of five-minute sessions if she's hungry. So if she doesn't get quiet pretty quickly on her own, just wait for the next step. Training quiet behavior. Now that the cat has learned a calm, stationary position, you can start rewarding for quiet behavior. Here's an example with my cat, Dante. Dante can vocalize longer than the most diligently trained singer, but he's learned that he doesn't need to meow and scream whenever he wants something. Instead, we've rewarded sitting quietly. However, when something changes, such as when we have dogs visiting for a few days and he has to lay low, he seems to revert back to his meowing ways afterwards. So here's the routine I use for a couple of days to retrain him to be quiet. Basically, I wait out the long strings of meows, and when he's quiet for a few seconds, hurry up and reward. Dante's a quick meower, which makes it difficult to get a treat to him while he's still quiet and before the next meow. As a result, I use a clicker and click to let him know when he's being good and has earned a treat. At first, I can have the I can have to reward him for just 1 to 2 seconds of silence. But he quickly learns to be quiet for longer periods of time. In fact, at first, he looked around to see if it was the head position that's earning a reward, because different head positions have worked in these training sessions in the past. He even gets confused at one point and thinks, oh, maybe meowing does work. So he tries some quiet, tentative meows. But because I avoid rewarding the meows and then reward him when he's quiet, he gets the message that it's the quiet, not the head turns or the meowing. What happened the next day? Expect to have to wait out the meowing and reward quiet behavior many times during the day if you have a Herculean howler like Dante. But if you're consistent and reward the quiet behavior with enough sequential treats for longer and longer silence, you can fix the meowing in just a few days. Because Dante's had this training before, it took just 2 sessions of rewarding quiet behavior for him to remember to be quiet all day. And the quiet, not shouting, works to get him what he wants. Like I said, I actually tried it, and it actually does kind of work. Now, from Pet Tales Winter Edition 2019, we've got some interesting articles. The first one is Favorite Winter Activities by Megan Pohl. The temperature has dropped and the snow is here to stay for a while. However, there are still so many ways to play. Whether you choose to stay indoors or explore the winter wonderland, you and your pup can still have fun. Go outside. Get everyone bundled up and go play in the snow. The easiest way to enjoy this weather is to simply explore. It could be a short hike or even just seeing how your own backyard has transformed. Both will be an exciting adventure for you and your furry friend. Watch your dog carefully throughout the walk for signs that she's cold. If you notice her shiver or shake, end the walk and bring her indoors. Make a snow maze. Winter is long and your yard is covered in snow and losing its novelty, maybe more for you than your dog. Change it up by creating narrow pathways in your yard with a snow shovel. Then connect the pathways in fun, twisty patterns like a maze. Once you create your maze, release your dog and watch her navigate through the pathways. Not only will your dog get plenty of exercise running through the maze, but she will also get mental stimulation from trying to find her way out. Create a scavenger hunt. This is another great game that encourages some mental exercise for your pup. Hide treats or toys around your yard and watch as your dog sniffs and searches for them. You may have to help her find the first couple while she figures out the game. Or play hide and seek and have your dog sniff you out. Stay indoors. Not everyone relishes the snow, and there are always days when you want to stay indoors as much as possible. While you're snowed in, there are still interesting ways to engage your dog. One fun option is to teach her a new trick. We have all heard the adage that you can't teach an old dog new tricks, which simply isn't true. Maybe she never mastered some basic commands, or you're feeling fancy and want to teach her how to high five or roll over. With a little patience and plenty of positive reinforcement, a dog of any age can master something new. For more active activity, you could try setting up an indoor agility course. Clear a large enough space in your house and get creative designing obstacles. A broom across some step stools could be a jump, or drape a blanket over a few chair seats and you have a tunnel. Your pup can have fun learning how to navigate this new environment and burn off some excess energy without you both having to get all bundled up. Just make sure whatever you use is stable enough to not get knocked over. Our favorite winter activity is also our favorite thing to do all year long, cuddle. The weather outside is frightful, so put on your comfiest clothes and gather all of your furry friends on the couch. Add some hot cocoa and your favorite holiday movie, and you have the perfect evening. Next from Pet Tales Winter Edition, canine influenza. What is it? Canine influenza virus is currently used caused by two main canine influenza virus strains, H3N8 and H3N2. Influenza viruses can cause canine infectious respiratory disease complex, CIRD. And dogs that are infected will spread the virus whether or not they appear to be sick. CIV strains explained. Recently, a new strain of the avian influenza virus mutated to infect dogs. It is the H3N2 virus. Similar to humans, human influenza, when a new strain is created, then a new vaccine is needed and there will be no protection from previous vaccinations. Sorry about that. The canine influenza vaccine given to your dog before 2016 was for the H3N8 variant. This flu virus originated with horses. The past 2 years, the H3N8 variant has become less active and there have been no reported new cases in our region. The new flu strain H3N2 has been reported in multiple states, but there has been no outbreak in our region yet. However, flu can spread rapidly. Canine influenza vaccines can reduce the chance of infection for their specific strain, should reduce the clinical signs of if a dog does become infected, and can decrease the time that a dog remains infective to other dogs. Both canine influenza strains are being monitored, and depending on future mutations or development, we will recommend vaccine adjustments as needed. Symptoms: gagging, hacking, nasal discharge, fever, lethargy, and coughing. If your dog is sick, if your dog has symptoms, contact your veterinarian for an appointment and let them know your dog has respiratory signs. When you arrive for your appointment, either call or leave your dog in the car to help minimize the possibility of contamination in the facility. How it spreads: it is highly contagious. Influenza transmission can occur from direct contact with an infected dog or with its secretions, and the virus can persist on toys, bowls, collars, leashes, floors, and walls for several days. Vaccinations. Learning from the previous influenza outbreak and the current spread of the new influenza, we are recommending getting your dog vaccinated for the H3N2 canine influenza vaccine if you take your dog to any place where dogs unknown to you gather in large numbers. Areas that we recommend vaccinating for are boarding kennels, dog shows, dog parks, performance competitions, group training classes, doggy daycare, and groomers. We also recommend the vaccine if your dog has a medical condition that increases complications with respiratory diseases or suppresses the immune system, like cancer, cardiac disease, corticosteroid use, etc. The H3N2 canine influenza vaccine requires an initial two vaccine series given 3 to 4 weeks apart, with a yearly booster to maintain effectiveness. If you think your dog is at risk, talk to your veterinarian about vaccination. And canine infectious respiratory disease complex, that's CIRD. What is it? Canine infectious respiratory disease complex, CIRDC, is a contagious condition associated with a variety of pathogenic bacterial and viral organisms and is often referred to by the catch-all terms kennel cough and infectious trachobronchitis. Bacterial pathogens causing CIRDC include Bordetella, Mycoplasma, and Streptococcus. Viral pathogens include distemper, parainfluenza, adenovirus type 2, influenza, respiratory coronavirus, and pneumovirus. Symptoms are coughing, retching, sneezing, nasal ocular discharge, decreased appetite, depression, and pneumonia can be seen in immunocompromised individuals, such as very young, elderly, and unvaccinated or sick dogs. The treatment for CIRDC is often symptomatic. Because the underlying cause can be varied, medications are often provided to treat the symptoms. Cough suppressants, anti-inflammatories, antibiotics, or antivirals are the mainstay of therapy. It is very important to see your veterinarian for a complete examination and to discuss which treatments are right for your pet. How it spreads? It is highly contagious. Depending on the pathogen, incubation can be from 2 days to 5 weeks and is spread through direct contact with secretions, licking through the air, coughing or sneezing, and by touching contaminated surfaces. Pets and people can come in contact with these pathogens anywhere that pets and people tend to congregate, including but not limited to parks, grooming salons, pet stores, and kennels. Prevention. Although vaccinating against the multiple causal agents is the best way to control these diseases, CIRDC is not always preventable through vaccination. Often disease caused by canine influenza, canine Bordetella, and canine distemper can be prevented entirely, while in other cases, vaccination will only help decrease clinical symptoms, severity, and shorten the time pets are ill. Vaccination still remains our best line of defense, so all dogs at risk of exposure should be vaccinated regularly. It is very important to discuss your pet's level of risk with your veterinarian. And it is important to note that vaccination is only available for Bordetella, bronchoseptica, canine adenovirus type 2, canine parainfluenza virus, canine distemper, and canine influenza. Disease, infection from other organisms that cause CIRDC cannot be prevented. Also, vaccination is not useful in a dog currently incubating kennel cough. So there you have it. Next, Preparing for a Pet Emergency by Nikki Wargo-Catalo at Monroe Veterinary Associates. You never know when an emergency will strike. Knowing a little bit about animal emergencies can help when situations become dire. During an animal emergency, here are a few things to remember. Make sure someone calls the emergency hospital or an animal control officer. The more information you have, the better. And while most animal emergencies work on a walk-in basis, a heads up is always appreciated so they can have staff and a gurney, if needed, waiting. An animal control officer can help if the pet is stray or if you don't know the owner. They are well equipped to help catch animals without further injury. Is the animal someone's pet or is it a possible stray? As much as we want to help, regardless of the situation, when it comes to animals, keep in mind the pet's medical history. If a pet is not known to you or you can't find an owner, you may unknowingly put yourself at risk. A stray pet may have rabies or other communicable diseases, so trying to help may be more harmful than helpful. If a pet is owned, that person will need to sign off on paperwork once the pet is at the hospital. An owner will also know a pet's medical history, which may be crucial in their treatment once at the ER. Stay safe. Even the nicest pets may bite out of fear or pain. If you are having trouble moving a painful pet, consider using a blanket to transport. Blankets may also be used to cover a pet to help lower their stress level. If a pet becomes aggressive due to their injury, consider using a towel to wrap around and control their jaw to avoid bites. You can also cover the pet in a large comforter that will be hard to bite through. If you are bit, seek medical attention, as animal bites can cause infection. Assess immediate needs. You can assess a pet in the same ways you can a person initially, by checking for breathing and a heartbeat. If you need to, you can start chest compressions. A small cat will require only a hand around the rib cage, while larger dogs should be placed on their sides with pressure coming from both of your hands. Do not give mouth to mouth. You never want to get close enough for an animal to be able to bite, especially if you don't know the pet. Signs a pet needs immediate medical care. Pale gums, rapid breathing, weak or rapid pulse, significant change in body temperature, paralysis, seizures, excessive bleeding, unconsciousness. In the event of poisoning or ingestion of known materials, call Animal Poison Control immediately. They will give you a case number, which you can bring to emergency hospital, which will expedite care for your pet. Animal Poison Control may also have you induce vomiting when warranted, using hydrogen peroxide when time is of the essence. Things not to do. Do not give your pet any human medications. In many cases, human medications are harmful to pets, even in small doses. For other types of medications, the dosages may be very different for a pet than for a human. Allow a veterinarian to assess your pet without pain medication on board, as the medication may alter what is found on physical exam. And don't wait. If there is one thing we know in veterinary medicine, it is that a moment can be too long to wait. Pets can be stoic, not showing you much even when something is very wrong. Also from Pet Tales, 2019 Winter Edition, Alternative Medicine for Your Pet by Alexa Fiden. In recent years, alternative medicine has gained popularity in the human medicine field as a viable supplement to surgery and habit-forming medication. Alternative medicine, which includes practices such as acupuncture, rehabilitation, and chiropractic medicine, provides a less invasive option for those suffering from chronic pain or injury. In the world of human healthcare, alternative medicine has become increasingly popular in recent years and is regarded as a legitimate and effective treatment process for a variety of ailments. While this is helpful to know when considering our own health, it's important to note that alternative medicine is beginning to make a significant impact in the field of veterinary care as well. Rock Pet Rehab, located in Rochester, New York, offers pets a multimodal and non-invasive approach to pain management. Rock Pet Rehab offers services such as joint injections and supplements, manual therapy, acupuncture, laser therapy, underwater treadmill to joint movement and promote weight loss, nutritional supplements, and traditional pain relievers. By developing a personalized treatment plan that is tailored to your pet's rehabilitation needs and general lifestyle, Rock Pet Rehab is able to offer care that is specific to your pet and its individual needs. With extensive experience in therapeutic and rehabilitation, Rock Pet Rehab is the perfect place to introduce your pet to the wonderful world of alternative medicine. Rock Pet Rehab's world-class staff and cutting-edge techniques work together to get your pet on the positive path to wellness so they can live a happy and healthy life. It's important to note that while alternative medicine is a wonderful thing, it should not replace normal trips to your veterinarian. Instead, it can be an appropriate complement to traditional veterinary care. While deciding on a course of action regarding your pet's health care, it's imperative to keep their overall well-being as your primary priority and choose a wellness plan that will best support their individual needs. Between medication, surgery, and vet visits, it can be very confusing and oftentimes frightening to provide your pet with the best care possible. However, knowing your options can ease the anxiety that surrounds providing effective health care for your pet. If your pet is suffering from chronic pain, recovering from an injury, or in need of rehabilitative therapy, alternative medicine may be a viable option for you. By creating a positive path to wellness, Rock Pet Rehab's world-class staff and cutting-edge techniques work together to ensure that your pet can live a happy and healthy life. And here's some fun facts about cats. First, Abraham Lincoln kept four cats in the White House. When asked if her husband had any hobbies, Mary Todd Lincoln is said to have replied, "Cats." 88% of cats in the U.S. are spayed or neutered. The largest litter of kittens produced, 19 kittens. Black cats are bad luck in the United States, but they are good luck in the United Kingdom and Australia. The Egyptian Mau is the oldest breed of cat. Only 11.5% of people consider themselves cat people. Hard to believe. The world's richest cat is worth $13 million after his human passed away and left her fortune to him. And some fun facts about dogs. Plato once said that a dog has the soul of a philosopher. A dog's shoulder blades are unattached to the rest of the skeleton to allow greater flexibility when running. And small quantities of grapes and raisins can cause renal failure in dogs. Chocolate, macadamia nuts, cooked onions, or anything with caffeine is also harmful. So that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.